Reggie said that Pastor Patrick's away. He's on a vacation with his beautiful wife. They're on a holiday. So he's given me the opportunity today where I'm going to be leading this service. Yeah. Before I start, I would like to thank Patrick. I'd like us all just to acknowledge the consistency of Patrick teaching throughout the scriptures with his expository teaching throughout the books of John and in the book of Acts. It's been a great blessing to us as a body, laying down the foundations of the early church, and how that applies to us within our life. All right, so how was your week, everybody? Yeah, been all right. Okay, well, you know, sometimes in our weeks, you know, we go through different things throughout our weeks. Sometimes, you know, we go through little trials, whether in our job, whether in our home life or so forth, you know, we encounter various battles and things might not go exactly how we intend it or we expect it to go, you know. That happens from week to week. You know, we come to church on a Sunday, but, you know, in the weeks, you know, we do encounter various trials. And I suppose, you know, it's a good way to see whether we've taken heed of what we've heard on the Sunday or in the week in a Bible study prayer meeting to see if we really apply that to our life. But, you know, no matter where we're at still, no matter where you are, as a believer, you can be assured that, you know, Psalms 1:2:1 tells us, you know, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So, you know, that's something that we all can be encouraged in, you know, no matter what we encounter, what we go through, our help comes from the Lord. All right. All right. Today I'm going to I'm going to go through the book of Colossians, right? We're going to be reading from Colossians chapter 3, right? Verse 1 to 17. So if you can just find yourself there in your Bibles and we'll read through there, right? So I'm going to read that and I'm going to read from Colossians 1 to 17. Then when I finish that, I'm going to pray. But before we read from Colossians chapter 3, right, I'm just going to give a quick little overview, you know, on the book of Colossians, just so when we get to 3, we kind of have it within its context, hopefully, right? So the book of Colossians, it was written by the Apostle Paul, and, you know, he wrote it, I believe, to combat false teachings and some heresy that was being taught in the Colossian church at that time. It gives doctrinal truth, right? And that's presented in two parts. Chapters 1 and chapter 2, we will have doctrinal truths. And chapter 3 and chapter 4, we're going to have practical truths to be lived out, for the church to live out in their life. The letter was probably sent to the Colossian church by Tychicus, because you'll see in Colossians chapter 4, verse 7, that, you know, Paul mentions that Tychicus will be bringing word to them about how they're all doing. Yeah, and this book is very practical to us because it's to the church and us in this modern day, in this modern time where we are, you know, there's a lot of things that is practical for us of how we apply that to our life, right? The church was founded by Epaphras. You have to forgive my pronunciation as well, right? Yeah, so, you know, I know you might be able to say it a bit more correctly than me, but hopefully if you're following the inner words, you'll see that, right? So the church was built by Epaphras, all right? You'll see that in Colossians 1:7, you know, Paul mentioned that, you know, they heard and received the word from him. Yes, so received it from them. And I believe it was a mixture. The church is a mixture of church, just like here, you know, not one domination or culture. I believe personally, reading through the text, that maybe it might bring primarily more Gentiles, barbarians, Scythians, and so forth. As in the letter you'll see in Colossians 1:12, 21, and 27, it talks about some of the things that, you know, were being contended within the church. Paul never actually visited the church within the flesh, but we know within the letter he said that though he's not with them in the flesh, he's with them in spirit. Yeah, so, you know, the letter deals with the threat of false teaching to undermine the person and work of Christ and the sufficiency of the salvation believers have in him. It highlights Christ's preeminence. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, ecclesia. That's us, the assembly, congregation, the church. All right? So if you're all there now, I'm going to read from Colossians chapter 3, 1 to 17. All right, I'm going to read from New King James, all right? But don't matter what version you have. All right, it says, If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie one to another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. Father God, we thank you that we have the opportunity to come into your presence, Lord. Thank you, Lord, we have your word. Thank you, Lord, we also know that you delight in us, Lord, and you've also called us to delight ourselves also in you. Father, as we're here together as a church, we pray that you would come and manifest yourself amongst us. We pray that you would reveal yourself to us through your word. I pray that you would help me, Father, to communicate your word as you would like me to speak to your people and myself. And Lord, I do pray that you would fill us with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we may walk worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing unto you, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in knowledge of you. So, Father, we just give you glory today, and we pray that your will shall be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, yeah. So imagine this. Does anyone remember sometimes when you was young? Yeah, we've got adults in here. So when you was young, where possibly, like my wife, when she was young, she may have just dressed up as her mother. You know, young kids, sometimes you do things. You try and get in a role. You know, young boy, you might have dressed up. No, you might have acted out like he was your dad or a big man. You know, child might dress up like you're a nurse, think you're a boxer. But just imagine that. You know, when you're young sometime, you dress up, you impersonate people, yeah? As an adult sometimes, you know, as you're growing and you're trying to find out who you are, you're trying to look to see who's your identity. You see people in the world and you figure, he looks cool, she looks cool, they look good, they look good. And you impersonate them. You try to put on their characteristics and try and act like them, trying to find yourself. I know I did myself. But it takes a while sometime in life to actually find out who you are and find your true identity. You know, we mimic things that are out there in society that is trying to tell us, be like this, be like that. You know, This is the social group that's accepted. This is the group that you should be in. So, yeah, just imagine that picture, you know, things, you know, just imagine people do those things. And even us ourselves, I mean, some of us even today may still be in that place where we're still trying to find out who we are and trying to find out our identity, though it is in Christ Jesus. But, you know, when we're trying to find ourselves or desiring to be someone, we're not, you know, and put on different characters hoping to be somebody we desire. You know, it's not really good for us, you know, it has all kinds of problems because it can lead us into a place where it really entangles us and it could be really detrimental to us. This is the struggle, though, in the world where many people are still trying to find where they truly fit in and trying to, you know, trying to identify who they really are and who they're comfortable with within themselves. Yeah, but, you know, as believers, I do want to just say, you know, our identity is in Christ alone. And Christ is better than anything else we have outside of him. So anything else outside of his work, his boundaries, is his word. You know, that's who you will find your identity within his word, as his word will communicate who we are and his expectation of us. Anything outside of that, you know, is a reflection of the world. You know, get this education, get this qualification, be in this position and so forth and so forth. And, you know, it builds your self-esteem, but that's only momentarily. That's temporal, right? So, yeah, that's that, right? Just wanted to share that with you. So with that anyway, right? So, you know, I gave a brief quick overview of Colossians chapter 1. You know, Paul talks about the preeminence, the sovereignty of God. All things were made by him, for him, and through him. He's sovereign. He's the first. Yeah, without him, there'll be nothing, right? Chapter 2, talking about, you know what I mean, people talking philosophies and legalisms and so forth. And now we get to chapter 3 where, you know, Paul is coming into a place now to give them practical instructions, and that really applies to us also, yeah? So the first 4 verses, you know, in Colossians chapter 3, right, we will see Christ is mentioned 4 times. Yeah, so we can see Paul really trying to communicate something to us, yeah? If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. For you died, your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him. So you see the significance. Christ is mentioned 4 times within those 4 verses, right? And Christ, you know, that's an English word, but Christ comes from the Greek word, which is Christo, which means anointed one or chosen one. In Hebrew, anointed one means the Messiah. The Messiah, that's the long-awaited one, the Savior, the Redeemer of mankind. Yeah? So he's the first and the last. And, you know, that's the importance, the Messiah, Christ. We've been raised with him. We might not see that physically, but that's the reality. You know, we died and we've been raised with him. There's no one else to look to or seek other than Christ. And Paul is communicating that to the church. These instructions from Paul to the Colossians were to let them know their salvation was secure in Christ. He's all they need because it's all about Christ. And the application for this reality is for them to seek those things above where Christ is. And that's the same for us. Sitting at the right hand of God, that's where Christ is. All truth is found in him, not in philosophy or legalism. We need to be careful of what we imagine to be true or things we believe in that sound good or we consider it's what we think, but it carries no weight within God's word. Yeah? You know, it's all in Christ. The reality is we're raised in him. That's if, you know, you have chosen him and made him your Lord and your Savior. And our mind needs to be set on him. The world is going to have our mind set on many things that can really take you away from Christ. You know, there's so much social media to keep you occupied all day long. You know, we're in an era now when, you know, when you see people walking, something I've observed, right? I seem to see a lot of young people walking and young adults walking, right? I seem to see more females, personally speaking, right? But I seem to see them walking so much, and, you know, they're always usually on their phone. I'm not sure what they're looking at, but, you know, I see that. It's just happening so much. You see people walking, and they're on their phone. Instead of using their mind to do things that may be, my possible assessment, may be productive, figuring out things in life that they need to do, they may be doing that on the phone, some of them, so I can't say everybody's doing that. But as I said, you see so much people walking and they're like attached to their phone, looking at things. And within that itself, I'm not sure if that really is going to help them to keep their mind on Christ. I'm not sure if they're reading something scriptural with on their phone, but possibly their mind is being taken into a place which is something which is worldly, entertainment. You know, I say that probably I've had a peak when I've been close to a few people and they probably are looking on Facebook or some Snapchat, you know what I mean? So I have passed some people, and that's what I've seen some people doing. They're flicking through what a person said, what's the latest thing here and there. So their mind is focused on what's going on in the world with other people. But for us as believers, as Paul is communicating to that church, their mind is to be set on Christ, because that's where your life is. It's not on this earth. We are on this earth, but we're not of this earth. And the reality, we do go about our daily routine, working, providing for family, friends, and so forth. We have an assignment until Christ comes back. But at the same time, that's an assignment. That call is only going to be fulfilled through having our mind on Christ. That's the only way it's going to be fulfilled. That's the only way it's going to be fulfilled. And, you know, we have the word of God, which is a lamp unto our feet and it's a light to our path. You know, it declares also, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven, you know, the heavens above. So therefore, our mind needs to be set upon the word. It needs to be set on Christ. We need to consider those things. Yeah. Their priority was to have God's perspective on things in their daily life. And it's the same for us. Without that, we rely on human wisdom. So, you know, in our daily lives, whatever you're doing, if your mind is not set on Christ and having God's perspective, seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness, so all other things that you need, you know, knowing how that you conduct yourself, you're going to enter into human wisdom, which is foolishness to God. That's what it is, you know. And here's a quick picture of what that looks like when your mind is set on earthly things, right? Matthew chapter 16, verse 23. Don't have to go there. This is Jesus. He told Peter, I'm going to have to go to Jerusalem because, you know, it's mandatory. I got to go there and things are going to happen, you know. Going to get arrested, go to the cross and so forth. Peter, far be it. Can't happen, Lord. You know what I mean? Yeah, Peter, bad man. Not happening, Lord. Not happening, yeah? But Jesus is going to turn around and see him. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on things of God, but on things of man, earthly things. You see, that was just useless, earthly wisdom, human wisdom. Of course, Peter, if your friend's going to be in danger, of course, far be it, that ain't going to happen. But, you know, Jesus, you know, it was a heavenly thing, you know, he had to go to the cross. But that example just kind of shows how we think. Sometimes the way we look at things, it's not how God sees things. So for us to be in line with how God sees things is by us keeping our mind upon Christ and on the word, because Christ and the word are one. Yes, so Christ and the word are one. Paul continues, encourages the Colossians to set their minds on things above, directing them to concentrate on the eternal things of God rather than the temporal things on earth, which eventually will come to nothing. When we get entangled in our daily affairs, you know, I'm sure all of us, you know, throughout the weeks and months, we've felt worn out through work, through various trials. We go through struggles, temporal situations. The Bible tells us all things are temporal and subject to change, all right? We have battles within our marriages, yeah? You know, with our children, with family members. Even might even battle, like in church. Church life, is this what it's about, you know? Well, church, you know, we might be looking for something that, you know, we figure we want it to be more than what it really is, yeah? So we go through all kind of battles, yeah? At the same time with that, it comes back. We need to look at where we are setting our minds. And, you know, God offers us wonderful promises, right? That even in that, it says in Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So, you know, things might not look exactly as we want them to look. But when you keep your mind on the Lord and you trust in him, he'll work it out. He's the first and the last. He knows everything. He knows exactly what's going to happen next year this time if I'm still alive. He knows what's going to happen in the week. He knows what's going to happen later on when me and my wife go to dinner. He knows what the conversations are going to be. He knows that. He knows everything. There's nothing hidden before him. He knows that. And he would like us to be in a place where we can rest in him like that. And we know that he knows that. He knows everything. He really does. Because he's a good God. Yeah. I think of the challenges the believers in the Colossians church had, yeah? They didn't have the Bible as we do. We have the Bible. We have the old counsel of God. That's what we have, yeah? You know, they may have had some scrolls, because remember, it was the early church and the Bible wasn't there yet. Yeah, you still got Paul and Peter and so forth going around and evangelizing and teaching. So they didn't have the Bible like we have. So by word of mouth and so forth, some scrolls and that from the Old Testament. I believe fellowship would have been their key form of spiritual development, just as it is for us. Yeah, we have church on a Sunday, but fellowship is a key, you know, development for us to grow and mature, where we can speak with one another. We can ask questions about what does that really mean? Yeah, we can share what we believe it to mean. We may be corrected or we may be right, but we can, you know, hear what God's real words really says, and hopefully we can learn to grow within that. You know? Yeah. So really, you know, without the Bible, to know God's will, they would have been vulnerable to teachings from false teachers. They would have been vulnerable to that. You know, false teachers roll up, maybe looking smart, maybe looking like they know everything, but they may be speaking things, you know, which is heresy. And, you know, how are they going to check that until someone like, you know what I mean, an apostle or somebody with, you know, who's accredited can come along and correct, you know, their teaching and put them right. So, you know, it's a terrible thing not to read your Bible and get to know the word of the Lord. Yeah, we have the will of God presented to us in the Bible, so we can test all things with his word. If we don't study and make ourselves familiar with his word, we could find ourselves vulnerable to false teaching also, because we listen to things and it sounds good. It sounds good. You know, I can relate to that. Sounds good. Yeah, I think, yeah, Lord, that's what he means. But, you know, check his word. Let's have it with us in his context. What does he mean by that? Yeah? That's the importance, you know. You need to check God's word. Yeah, that's very important. For you died. What does that look like? You know, we know when a person died, they're no longer here. The thing is, you know, we're told we've died, but we're still here walking. So we have that struggle trying to work that out. We're still trying to work that out, you know. You know, Paul tells the Colossians they died and their life will appear with Christ in glory. Admittedly, that's hard to see exactly what that looks like now as we live in this physical realm. But nevertheless, God's word proclaims the truth about who we are and how we are to conduct our life in him. That's why tells us in Corinthians, we are told, walk by faith and not by sight. For our life is hidden in Christ and it's safe in Christ. For something to be hidden, that's pretty much secure. You know, if you hide something that is precious to you, it's pretty much secure, right? I know when I hide anything, I've got peace, it's secure. Yeah, it's secure. And that's our life in Christ. It's hidden in Christ. You are secure in Christ. Yeah. So with this now, he goes on to tell you, see, knowing all these things, telling them who they are, telling them about their life, it goes on now to make known now, when Christ appears, our life will appear, then you also will appear with him. So that's a glorious day that we look to see when that time comes. But verse 5 now, knowing all those things, so therefore, what you're going to have to do now, so therefore, is you're going to have to put off these things. Sorry, not put off. Therefore, put to death. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. All right? So he wants us to put to death our members that are on earth, right? And these five things that he's talking about, right, we are to eliminate, which takes commitment to work on continuously. You can't put them to death just like that, yeah? They're not going just like that. No way. They want to stick around. They're traits of the old man. They don't want to go nowhere, you know? They figure they've got just as much as right as you to stick around, all right? Yeah, so, you know, you're in a battle, right? You know, it's like who you're talking to, you know what I mean? Yeah, these vices, these traits, they want to have their time on this earth and stick around, right? So the first one, fornication or sexual immorality. That's sexual intercourse between two unmarried persons. All right, I mean, you can correct me on some of my definitions, but, you know, this is what it is basically still, right? Yeah, so, you know, obviously, God does advocate, you know, he says a man and woman should be married. But, you know, within this world, we don't promote that. You know, you've got your desires. Go and fulfill your desires. Why not? So the world says anyway, but it causes a lot of dysfunctional things, you know, broken relationships, no fathers, no mothers. You know what I mean? Just had a wonderful time together. Don't know how to work things out, split and walked away. Yeah, so, you know, it's a hard call for us to really get our minds around and to deal with, you know, growing up in this world as we've grown up, you know. But that's what he requires, right? The old person needs to die to put it to death. Yeah, and I know it's not an easy task, but he said kill it. Yeah, you need to kill it. The second one, right? Uncleanness or impurity. That's a quality or state of being impure. Say mixed with something inferior or contaminated. You know, you might see some clear, pure water, yeah? Some Ivia water. Yeah, if you mix a bit of dirt in it, it's contaminated, it's impure. So likewise, uncleanness, impure, you know, someone who's contaminated, they're not functioning at that higher moral level, yeah? Yeah, or lack of moral or spiritual or physical uncleanness. The third one, passion. Now, we know having a passion for Christ, that's cool, that's good. That's good, selfie, I'm all out, yeah? For Christ, that's good, right? But we're talking about a powerful and compelling emotion or feelings of, I say, love or hate, you know, in an ungodly way, all right? And I'm going to try and bring this in text now, right? I'll just say, like, I'm going to read from Romans 1, 26 to 27, right? Where they touch on a vile passion, right? So Romans 1, 26 to 27, right? For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. So, you see, that's passion which drives you in the direction of lust, and it drives you in a place where it's uncontrollable, yeah? Starts off something you like and so forth, but it builds up passion and, yeah, to the point where you can't control it and it's destructive. That needs to die. Amen. Needs to die. And we all can relate with these things. Fourth one, evil desire. That's, likewise, I'm saying again, evil desire. What's that? That's thinking in terms of, or even doing, hurting someone, desiring bad things to happen to someone. That's evil desires. Yeah? I know that person hurt me, whatever. Oh, person, you know? Evil desires, not good, man. Doesn't reflect the Lord, doesn't glorify the Lord. That's evil. And covetousness. That's desiring wealth or possessions in the wrong way. Like hoarding for yourself, being greedy. Yeah? Desiring me, I want these things, you know what I mean? Probably feeding yourself. And we know, I was watching a program the other day, Britain has the most billionaires per head, I believe, in the world now. That is, you know what I mean, the most billionaires per head. But in Britain, in the last decades and that, right, we've got, the divide is just growing more and more. The divide's growing more and more. The program said, what, there's about 90-odd people, about 90-odd people who have, who has wealth as much as half of the people in the world, something crazy like that. Half the world. So what that's trying to say, a man has the wealth after people in the world. So maybe as much as people got in, well, not say Britain, because Britain's a wealthy country, but say another country, but that's from some, from on, that's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. I mean, money's good, not rocking, knocking that still, you know what I mean? But we just have to put it in perspective, you know what I mean? If any of had that still, I mean, with our hearts, having the heart of Christ, surely, you know, as Jesus feed the 5,000 and 4,000, surely, man, having them billions, surely I would believe our hearts in Christ, we would be compelled to step into deprived areas and do things to benefit those who are poor. You're always going to have poor. We know that. Jesus even said that. But you still, you know what I mean, would be compelled to not sit back in all of that luxury. You know what I mean? That's why it's hard for the rich man. But yet still, he can be saved like anybody. It's only because he may trust so much in his wealth. Yeah? So these traits need to be put to death. And, you know, death is like you kill something, you kill it. So, you know, consider that. Consider that, man. You kill fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Yeah? It's idolatry. Why? Because you put your trust in that rather than in God. You put your trust in something created rather than the creator. It's idolatry. That is idolatry, and that's not good. Yeah? But still, at the same time, it lets us know in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. I lived in them. I really probably enjoyed them at the time when, before I come to know Christ, before Christ came to choose me. That's what the world promotes. We all lived in them. We all lived in them. But you see, that's past tense. You lived in them. The thing is now, God willing, we're not living in them. Can understand, you know, the old man's going to want to pop up and, you know, he's going to try and make, you know, yeah, show him something, you know what I mean, do something. But we're not to live in them. Paul's commonly telling the church, right, that they're not to live in that. Yeah? Yeah, the humbling thing is, you know, we did once live in them. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We are new creations, and we need to remember the old man has been buried with Christ in our baptism, and the new man was raised with Christ through faith in the working of God who raised Jesus from the dead. So likewise, I know some of us in here was baptized, Sion and Shaniqua was baptized. And that's it. The old man was put to death. You went down in that water. The old man was put to death. But he was raised in faith through Christ. Yeah? So, you know, that's the same for all of us that was baptized. Then we're going to see now, right? Because of these things, Paul reminds them God's wrath is coming upon the sons of disobedience. It's because of those things. Rebellious. Yeah, in which we once walked and lived in them. I would say that's a good mirror for us to look at and examine ourselves to see if we still live in those five traits, those five vices. Yeah, so don't take that lightly. I would hope and pray that, you know, even after today, that we look and consider, are we still living with those five traits? Have we put them to death? Have we killed them? And they're going to fight you. Yeah. Not going away so easy. They're going to fight you. But that's why you must kill it. He said, put it to death. All right? It's consistently. All right? And I've had a wonderful time with the Lord, like, studying for this, because it's been a struggle with me. But what's helped me is my life just slowed down. Because, you know, driving to work or whatever, driving, I'm just fast tempo. You know what I mean? Driving, I see a space, boom, I'm in there. You know what I mean? I see a space. And, you know, admittedly, you know what I mean, throughout the course of whatever few weeks, you know, I've done that. I've had a woman throw water at my car, you know what I mean? She didn't need to react like that, but there was a space, I got in the gap, but she figured you should wait your turn, and she'd done that. So you see, but I'm presuming, you know, she's of the word. She might be a Christian, I don't know. But she was verbal as well, right? You know, I didn't react. I felt, you know, the response of it, which was not nice, you know what I mean? Because obviously, you know, anger wanted to come out of me. You know, and things, what it's going to tell us here now also that we need to put up filthy language wanted to come out of me, but it did not. It didn't. I drove away and I said, Lord, bless her. I did say that, you know what I mean, yeah? But I'm telling you the truth, though, you know? Sometimes, as I said, so I'm just trying to say, my pace, my tempo, where I like moving fast, you know what I mean? I see something, you know what I mean? I'm that person. You see, you're on the motorway or in the road, right? You can see the sign it says now, right, that it's going to go into one lane, yeah? But you still got another 100 yards down there. I'm going to the front of the queue. Why am I staying back here and getting in the queue near now, right? There's a lane there. I'm going right to the front. You know what I mean? Politely, someone decently is going to let you in. But you know what I mean? I figure everyone... But in a way, it's good everyone stays in the queue because it leaves way for me. And that's not selfish, you know what I mean? Obviously, it starts at that point there. It does start at that point there, right? So that's what I do, yeah? And it's good everybody don't do it, or the tailback would be even further. But you know what I mean? It's something they do. Nothing is wrong with that, yeah? So praise God anyway. Yeah. So we have that mirror anyway, right? We do have that mirror to marry. We have that mirror to view, to really see if we're, you know, if we're putting that to death, right? So please take heed and look at that, right? But it doesn't stop there, right? Paul goes on to say now, right? Paul goes on to see in verse 8, but now you yourselves are to put off, all right? Paul goes on now, another five traits Paul goes on to say to put off, right? We are told to put off another five vices or traits, right? These ones are anger. That's feeling of extreme annoyance or displeasure, you know? Something's happened, right? Like, likewise, you know, as I said, the woman threw water on my car. I'm feeling extreme annoyance and displeasure. I'm displeased at what she's done, you know? Liberty throwing water on my car. The old man really wants to run her down and, you know? But not going to do that, you know what I mean, yeah? Satan and his wives, you know what I mean? Obviously, I'm not going to do that, right? So we are to put off anger, right? The second one, we're told to put off wrath. That's fierce anger. So not just anger, that's fierce anger, right? Vengeance or punishment as a consequence of anger. Now, we know God's wrath is coming because God is not pleased with, you know what I mean? Yeah? Malice, the desire to harm or cause mischief or suffering to another. Blasphemy or slander. Behavior or language that shows disrespect for God or sacred things which concerns God. Filthy language or obscene talk. Things that shouldn't be uttered out of our mouths as believers. They shouldn't be uttered out of our mouths. I know we might find ourselves in places, and naturally sometimes you find yourself gravitating with a crowd, maybe a joke and that, but things, obscene, filthy language should not be uttered out of our mouth. We find these traits being freely displayed by those who live a carnal lifestyle. Though they are all destructive of themselves and not healthy traits. But Paul tells the Colossian church they need to put them off. And with a picture of that, I suppose what that looks like, it's like, I was talking with Malaika this morning, right? And you see, it's like, Malaika, she's gone through junior school, yeah? Her mum helped her. Put off the junior stuff and go into secondary school. Yeah, so she put off her junior school, you know, running around carefree and everything, you know what I mean? Come home, mum, dinner, mum, just set a plate down and everything. She sit down, she can eat, relax, play and everything, then go to bed. She start got to junior school now, right? Mum is teaching her, you need to put them clothes off now, come help with the dishes. You can't over the stairway, right? Yeah. All right, joking, right? But you know what I mean? She goes to junior school now, right? So she learns some other things and everything. Anyway, she's at the stage right now still, right, where, you know, congratulations, she just finished her exam. So she's left school, college. You left college now, right? So you see, she's going to have to put that off now. And I'm sure sometime shortly, mum and daughter will have a talk. You know, we get to that stage in life where you need to put certain things off, put your school uniform down. No more child. Young, but you understand me now, you know what I mean? You know. I'm sure it's the same for a lot of us, you know what I mean? In home and everything, it's coming, kids. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you learn about paying your way and so forth and that, right? Yeah? And things. But it's about putting off, you know what I mean? You're no longer a child. You're a teenager. You're an adult. So likewise, you know, you have to put off childish things, you know? It's like you become a husband. You become a wife, you know? Put off that single attitude. You know, it's not just you no more. You're interdependent. You're in a marriage now. You need to put something on, which we're going to come to in a new man. But you need to put off certain things. Yeah? So, you know, as for the new character, you know, within the new man, which we're going to be coming to from verse 12, right? It's looking at the carnality, you know what I mean? The fleshly man at the moment and the Christ man, which is who you are. You was raised in Christ. So, old fleshly things of the natural world need to come off. They need to come off. Don't take them lightly, even me, myself. They need to come off because Christ needs to be glorified in our lives. He's not glorified when we see these traits that we've not put to death, we've not taken them off. He's not glorified. He can still use you. So be assured, God can still use you. And he's good, he still does use us, right? But at the same time, he will be more so glorified, and I believe we will more so stand out in the world when people see these traits that are dead in us and they've been put off, and people will just see the glory of God within our lives based on how we conduct ourselves and the things that we do. Hopefully Christ will just radiate that sweet-smelling fragrance of life, will just radiate from us, yeah? So these things need to be put off, take them off. And likewise, as I said, speaking with Malika, you know, she's preparing to take off some things and step into that new role. You know, she's going to have to learn about setting these boundaries. Yeah, and I'm sure with these young girls, likewise, you know, and young children, you know, it's all coming as we grow. You know, a lot of us in adults in here, we've had to learn those things. Some of us looked out externally at the world. We may have looked at our parents or just people we know. But if we look in God's word and our mind is set upon Christ and things above, yeah, we will get the true picture of how we're meant to be and who we're meant to be. And that takes commitments on our part because it takes commitment to read God's word. Yeah, that's the commitment. I know we like a fast process, but everything we need in it, anything outside of Christ, you know what I mean? It can take you away to a place which is not in line with God's word. Yeah. All right, it goes on, do not lie to one another since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Yeah, so you see again, you've put off the old man with his deeds. And as I said again, the old man is always going to fight, right? Because some of us actually like the old man and the old woman. Some of us do, you know what I mean? That's where we had a bit of fame for, you know, fame and everything. Everyone recognized us, yeah, you know what I mean? People kind of really built your self-esteem. They acknowledged you in a way where you felt really good. You felt the man, you felt the woman. You had built up a status and everything that, yeah, you had props. You come into Christ now, it's like you're the same as everybody. And your ego wants, I'm somebody. It's the truth. It is the truth, right? Some of us like that old man and that old woman. That's where we felt comfortable. We felt important. We felt people respect us for what we achieved according to what society classes as successful. We built our identity on what we have, what we do, how important we are to other people, and what we look like. This society, this world, right? This world's picture of finding your identity and importance in the world is based on what you have, what you've achieved, what you've done, the authority you have, and who you think you are in society. You know, give out titles like nothing, don't they? You know what I mean? Gary, you've got a wonderful family. I'll give you a sir, I'll give you a knighthood now. That's what society's like, but you've got a wonderful family, but Christ sees that, man, you're big, yeah? Got a wonderful family, man, you've done good. But society's like that, you know what I mean? You see some people, you know what I mean, some sirs and so forth, but well done to them anyway, yeah? Well done to them, they've done a good achievement and everything, yeah? But your identity, remember, is in Christ, right? And to get there, you need to follow the protocol, put to death and put off, right? Yeah, but you have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. You have a new nature to walk in who has been renewed in knowledge. Romans 12:2 tells you, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. So you see, when you renew your mind, you will be transformed. You will be able to prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. You won't deceive yourself. You will be able to prove what's good to God. And I told you, what is acceptable, what is perfect and what's good to God is souls, it's lives. Because that's the only thing really we know that is really, you know, that is going into eternity. Everything else is going to pass away. The brick, the mortar, the, you know what I mean, the titles and everything, it's going to pass away. Jesus came to die for people like us. He died for us. We know that's good and acceptable. So knowing how to relate and work and deal with other people is a good thing. Our identity is not in our ethnic group. It's not in our education or our social status. Those things are good. You can learn and draw from those things. You know what I mean, yeah? Your background, culture, whatever you come from, you can learn from those things. Your education, yeah, that's all good. You know what I mean? You gain some good insight and knowledge in things, right? Your social status, you worked your way up into a certain place in society, that's good. But use it to glorify Christ and be a blessing to the body. So if you are in a position, use that, whatever it may be, to make way for the gospel or the people or whatever, or the influences or the treasures, wealth, whatever, you know, use that. You know, we learn one another through different backgrounds and cultures, diversity, education, you're knowledgeable in a certain area, use it to exploit the wealth or whatever to make something good within society. So those things are good in itself, but that's not who you are. Yeah? Our church, God willing, has no barriers with nationality, race, education, level, social standing. Christ is all and in all. We are a church where he breaks down all barriers and accepts all people to come to him. That's why we should reflect him. By this, all people will know you are my disciples if you love one another. And hopefully that's displayed within this fellowship. Hopefully everybody knows that there are somebody in here, despite your background, culture, where you come from, your walk of life, you are somebody, yeah? You know, we're brothers and sisters, equals, yeah? Nobody bigger than another, all right? And hopefully you feel that way and can relax in this fellowship, yeah? As believers, we should build bridges with people, not walls, so they can't come near us. Christ is the epitome, yeah? The standard, the model of everything that humanity intend to be, yeah? Everything they intend to be. And everyone finds their true identity in him, whether rich, whether poor, sophisticated, simple, young, old. We are one in Christ. Our heart in Calvary Chapel East Dulwich Church is, I pray, is to share the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ and see lives and souls saved by trying to reach and encourage the lost. Amen? Amen. Selah, stop, pause, consider what was said. All right, the last little section now, right, 12 to 17. Character of the new man, yeah? Chosen by God to put on the image of God. So likewise again now, this is a reflection to see, have we put on this new man, this image? Ever since the fall of man, I believe God had a plan to restore us back to himself in his likeness, yeah? Genesis 1:27, right, tells us God created man in his own image. In the image of God, God created him. Male and female, he created them, right? And we can see, verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, that's chosen of God, you are chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. So we can see five qualities this time. So we had five qualities that we need to kill. Really kill, get rid of it. Yeah? Five qualities that we had to put off. Yeah? Certain old garments or whatever, put them off. They're old, get rid of them. Right? Now we're talking about, right, put on. We need to put on something new, yeah? Those five qualities, right, tender mercies. That's compassionate treatment towards an offender or an enemy. When it's in your power to show mercy, have mercy on a sinner, just as God did for us. It's mimicking our Creator, tender mercies. He shows that in the work of the cross. Two, kindness. That's the state or quality of being kind. Just like our Heavenly Father. He's kind, right? Mm-hmm. We all know how good and how kind he is, yeah? We even sung about that. We sung some of those things today. Three, humility. That's the quality or condition of being humble, not proud or arrogant. It's the opposite to being proud or arrogant, yeah? So he's saying humility, right? Modest, yeah? Conscious of one's failings, like Moses. Moses was of great stature, but, you know, he'd done something which in error weren't exactly God's will. He's in the wilderness. Moses was a humble person, so it says. Four, meekness, quite humble or patient. Follow Jesus. Look up Jesus, follow Jesus. We know Jesus could be bold, but yet still very meek. Long-suffering, that's enduring trials, trouble, injuries, unhappiness, or awaiting an answer from God without complaint, but going through it patiently, trusting in the Lord. Look at the Apostle Paul. He was beaten. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. You know, people done many things to Paul. But, you know, he went through long-suffering. Long-suffering as well, in a marriage, is a wonderful place where you actually get the trial of long-suffering. Because you can't run away. You can't go nowhere. I mean, you know, if you're single or so, right, it's cool. We can see people. We can talk for a while. But, gee, I take a break from that person. You know, you can avoid them for a while, right? It's the truth. You can avoid them for a while. You can always go and have your own space. But in a marriage, gain nowhere. You gain nowhere. So it's a wonderful place to learn about long-suffering. Yeah? And to also, you know what I mean, put on these other characters of kindness, humility, and tender mercies. It's a wonderful place. At the same time, if you're single, you still get to exercise these things by not running away, being around a person, right? But, you know, in a marriage, you would have heard it before, the husband's like a sandpaper, the wife's like a sandpaper. But really, it gives you the opportunity, if you recognize, to put on the character of the new man. It really is, because God sees you as one. Right, so it really gives you the opportunity, yeah? We are to be like Christ, though. We should treat others the way he has treated us, bearing with each other and forgiving one another. Whatever complaints or grievances we have against one another, forgive as the Lord forgave you. That's what we're told to do, right? I know at times some of us find it hard because we've been grieved or hurt by others, but it's a commandment. We need to take the focus off of us. That person hurt me. I feel the feeling. It's hurt me emotionally. I'm hurt. I'm hurt. But you see, I'm focused on me. I'm hurt. How dare they? I'm hurt. But I need to set my mind on things above. I was risen in Christ. I need to set my mind on Christ. I've hurt Christ. I was that person who done those things that meant to be put to death. I was that fornicator, that unclean person, that person who ran in my passions. I had that evil desires, covetousness, you know what I mean, which is idolatry. I was that person. But you know what? He forgave me. He forgave me. Yeah? I'm created in his image now. I'm putting on that new man. You see me dance and worship in here today. And everything. Once upon a time, the old man ain't doing that. Not even like that. But I put on that new man. I'm sure it's the same for a lot of people I've seen here before. You're just going to kind of do some different thing, you know what I mean, yeah? But now you just put on that new man. You put on that new woman. Yeah? Yeah, you put on that new woman. That's what it's like. You put on that new characteristic. So in terms of forgiving, as I said now, right? God done it for us, and he desires you to do that for others. Luke chapter 7, verse 47, right? It says, therefore I say to you, her sins, which were many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. It's not good. If you love little, you probably think you've been forgiven a little. You may think you were not much of a sinner in comparison to other sinners. When listen to this, you know, we're listening to this, we're all sinners. Yeah, sin is a sin in God's eyes. Yeah, consider how much you've been forgiven. Sin is sin, and the wages of sin is death. But all who has Jesus as the Lord and Savior, who has confessed him with their mouth as the Lord Jesus, and believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead, shall be saved. And receive the gift of God, eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So as God loves and forgives us, let us forgive and love others as we are told to do. Because it's a commandment. It's a commandment. And I know the reality, we might struggle and it takes a time. But, you know, we love the Lord. Let's embrace the Lord and do as he says, right? Let's not focus on ourselves and our hurts. And I know that's a reality we have to deal with, right? But let's focus on Christ and all he took upon himself so we could have eternal life and be forgiven. Consider Jesus on the cross. Consider even Stephen when he was stoned in the book of Acts. Stephen was stoned. I know I could not do that in my natural self. But you know, being filled with the Holy Spirit as Stephen was, before he died, Lord, forgive them. He'd done what Jesus did. And you have the Holy Spirit within you. It's just to realize that. It's just to be filled with the Lord's word in your life and give yourself to him and trust in him and allow him to work in you to do his will and his good pleasure. It's real. You are a new creation. You're not the same person you used to be before you come to Christ. It's the truth. I know you might look like it physically on the outside, but you are a new creation. You need to understand that. We need to set our minds on things above. Because if you don't, you're going to walk around the same person and you're going to like the old man and the old woman. Yeah? But you're a new creation. You really are. So let's not focus on ourselves or on earth, but focus on Christ and all he took upon himself so we could have eternal life and be forgiven. Consider Jesus on the cross. As I said, Stephen, when he was stoned. Also Paul. And remember, Paul is the one who's writing this letter. Paul has been hurt a lot. He's been through persecution. He's been through a lot of things. So he's writing these things. So he's had that vision from the Lord. And it goes on. Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. 1 Corinthians 13, without love. Hang on, you're not saying much. Without love, you can, voice of angel, you prophesy, you can do all these things, you can do good things, but without love, it's nothing. Love is the bond of perfection. It just seals everything together. All of these traits, all of these things you put on, you know, tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, yeah, forgiving one another. But with love is the driving force behind that. God is love. He so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. Love. The bond of perfection, love. And you know what? We don't have no excuse. Romans chapter 5, I believe, 15, or Romans 15, 5, one of the two. It's in Romans anyway. God says, he poured his love throughout our hearts by his Holy Spirit. So we have no excuse. Just need to open up and receive. God's poured his love throughout our hearts by his Holy Spirit. So he's not conditional upon your love. He said he's poured his love throughout our hearts by his Holy Spirit. So that has given us all the capacity to love and to forgive. So if we're not doing that, we're probably harboring and holding on to the old man. I don't want to forgive. That person hate me. I ain't forgiven right now. Let them work for it. Let them earn it. God's given you that, man. That's your new man. You can do these things. You are a new creation. You really are. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. So, you know, we praise God as we're together in one body. We have that peace in our hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in spiritual, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I'm considering verse 16, possibly at that time they did not have the Bible. So possibly, again, just like we sing worship songs, and Kay and Wayne's going to do in a moment still, right? They're going to sing and everything, you know. Maybe sometimes back then as well, some of these things that they were being taught, right, they would have put them into hymns and everything. Just like the Psalms, you know. Psalms are written to some music. So, you know what I mean? Glory to God, or, you know what I mean? Let's put to mercies. Hang on. Put on mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long suffering. But you know what I mean? For them to recite it and to memorize it, we have the Bible, right? But as I said, you know what I mean? Because it says, right, let the word of Christ dwell in them with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And then finally, verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So whatever you do, anything you do, you have fun, you give thanks, you know what I mean? You're sitting down with your wife, with your husband, with your children, with your friend, you're at work, you're walking somewhere, whatever you do, you speak to a stranger, anything you do, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. So conclusion, all of that, right? You know who you are. It's clearly stated who you are right now. Yeah? It's told you what to put to death. So mirror that now. Look at that. Because if you don't take note of it, it will try and kill you. You are to put off. All right? So put it off so you can put on something new. If you don't put it off, it's going to be hard for you to put on something new. So do not walk in the flesh, but walk in Christ. Put to death that which does not glorify God and is earthly and temporal. You have been raised with Christ. Your identity is in Christ. You're chosen and have been renewed in knowledge according to the image of God who created him. From Genesis to Revelation, God's will has been revealed unto us, and he desires us to show ourselves obedient and faithful, just as he is faithful to us for his word. So we thank him for, you know, his word. And, you know, my prayer is that hopefully this week we will really all consider each morning, each day that we raise up, that we will put off the old man and put on the new man, and work on putting to death those things that doesn't glorify God. Work at putting off those things that we should put off, but strive to put on a new man, because that's who you are, and that glorifies God. Amen. Lord God, I do thank you for your word. I thank you for the truths of your word, Lord. I thank you for the clear picture, Father, of who we were and the picture of who we are becoming in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would help us all, Lord, to understand the implications, Lord, of not doing exactly what you've asked us to do, Lord. But I ask also you would help us to do what you will for us to do. And Lord, we know that you are the one who works in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. So Father, we pray that you would continue to doing that wonderful work that you began and started in us and bring it to completion until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, I pray that as you go before us this week, Lord, we will just fall in line with you and live to glorify you in words, thoughts, and deeds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.